let's see. Zach put up John 10:10 for us. We won't turn there. Most of us could quote it. We'll let Zach do it for us since we're just going to do this one here. It says, "The thief cometh not," and we know this is Jesus talking, "but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The word life there, when you look it up, it means Zoe. It's like God kind of life. Now, also in 1 John 3:8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested," or revealed, "that he might destroy the works of the devil." So we see here, the reason why I put these two together is some people will get this idea that God is for us. God's not for us. We're for God. Y'all get what I'm saying? In other words, God was not created for us. We was created for God. But some people kind of get the idea, don't really say it or whatever, but kind of get the idea that God, especially after I'm born again, that God is to do what I want him to do. He's come to make my life better, to give me more money, to give me more peace. And yes, all that is true. He will and he does, but that's not his entire purpose, right? Now, because we're saved to serve, and I believe the scriptures we're going to be looking at this morning is going to bear this out. If you got your Bible, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. Now, we've read this and read this for a lot of different purposes, but we're going to read it again this morning. There is a June Bible reading papers back there, and I only made 9 to start with. And there's some left. Maybe somebody didn't get theirs. You might say, well, I don't want to read the same chapter y'all read every day. It don't matter. Your kids don't want to eat broccoli when you cook it either, do they, every time? Or asparagus. Now, I'd probably have to do a 40-day fast if you're going to make me eat asparagus. I just cannot take the taste of that stuff. But how many knows, it's good for us all, just like whenever we was talking about a couple weeks ago what we was on in Sunday school, our whole week, that week, was every scripture just about that I brought up. So therefore, every one of us had supposed to have been eaten on that subject. So then when we come together, we might have a little more understanding. We might have a little more light. Plus, how many knows that the Word of God is food for your spirit, man? So we should be eating every day, right? And we should be eating some of the same stuff. All of you, some of y'all shouldn't just be eating cake all the time, I can tell you. It's not good for you. It's not good for you spiritually. It's not good for you physically. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, we've been over and over this. This is in your spirit. Your hair color didn't change. You didn't lose a few pounds the minute you got born again. He's talking about inside your spirit, man. He said, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we," talking about every born-again person, not a preacher, we're all preachers. It gets me when people say, God told me I'm a preacher. Well, he told every one of us we're a preacher. Now, it's different if he said you're an apostle, or you're a pastor, or you're a teacher, or you're an evangelist. That's fivefold ministry. But every one of us, he says here, has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors." Monty just brought up last week what an ambassador is. "For Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." Now let me read 18 in the Amplified. He says, "But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Now, I looked up the word ministry in these particular verses that we're reading, and it's also for some others. But the word ministry here in the Strong's Concordance is the Greek 1248. It says attendance or attendant, as a servant, an aid, service, relief, serving. The best meaning that I could give you of my own would be a waiter or a waitress when you go to a restaurant. Y'all didn't say nothing. See, I know we don't like to hear this stuff. See, y'all would like it. I would like it if somebody would tell me I'm saved to come and sit. Y'all didn't like that either? What do y'all want? You want to serve or you want to sit? Well, according to Scripture, we're saved to serve. He says here that we're born again, all things are made new, and now we've been given a ministry. We've been given a service to God and to others. So, and I'm not just talking to us here. A lot of us here, we do a lot of service. We do a lot of serving. I'm being your waitress this morning. You may not see it that way, but that's exactly what I'm doing this morning. I'm being of service to God and for you. Now, let's look at Galatians 5. Excuse me. See, some people think you just grow by reading the Bible and going to church. That's actually not scriptural. Y'all didn't say nothing about that either. Y'all awake or what? Y'all just reserving your amens for later? Later on there. The Bible says if we hear, say you come to church and you hear, 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 and you come to church and you hear, and you come to church and you hear. You're not going to just grow and develop like that. Why? Because you're supposed to come to church and hear and do. The Bible says in James, he said, if you're a hearer only and not a doer of what you hear, what happens to you? You become self-deceived. The devil's not even involved in it. So we want to make sure when we come to church or when we read the word or we hear good preaching on TV or however that we hear it, that we don't just hear it, but we hear it, we embrace it, we agree with it, and we exercise faith and we actually do it. Because, see, you can look at barbells all day long. Ask Travis. I had a weight bench sitting on the back of the porch when he was a teenager, and he'd walk by it and say, I'm building muscle. I'm building muscle. Every time he walked by there, he'd say, I'm building muscle. Because, see, he knows the Lord has to lead you. It's not just a confession. He confessed it a long time. But he never had no faith in action with what he was confessing, so therefore it did him no good. Every time he walked past that weight bench or whatever, he would confess that he's building muscle, his muscle's getting bigger. 6 months down the road, his muscles, and they're not any bigger, Johnny. Why? Because it's not just about what you confess. The Bible says one thing, you have to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Well, there's a difference in me just confessing and not believing in my heart. See, some people tell you they got great faith, but your life will prove it. So you can confess all day long, but just like he did, he had to have the lifting, the exercising of the barbells or the weight bench or whatever it is. See, we have to have the exercising or the doing of the word if we're actually going to grow and develop spiritual muscles or become mature in patience or self-control, the Bible says, or grow on in the love of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured out or shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So the day you got born again, you have the love of God. I have the love of God on the inside of me. But how many knows it comes in seed form? The Bible talks about how the kingdom of God is sown like a grain of mustard seed, right? But over a period of time, it grows to where even the fowls of the air go when they nest in it. But if I get the love of God, and every time somebody does something to me I don't like, I pitch a fit, it stays in seed form. Every time somebody cuts me off in traffic or whatever, and I'm honking the horn and running them down and all that other stuff that we do sometimes, I know y'all don't talk about me. That I do sometimes, or flip them off, you know, show them a big fat bird, whatever the case may be. I did not grow and I did not develop. Why? I did not exercise. Just because I have something don't mean just because I heard a word about it that it's growing and becoming bigger. Now, here in Galatians, what did I tell y'all? 5? I guess I need to get over there. Excuse me. 13. He says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That means freedom. "Only use not liberty or freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now listen to the Amplified. He says, "For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is complied with in the one precept, you shall love your neighbor as you do yourself." But notice that. Every one of us have been born again. We're called to freedom. Called to freedom in every area. You may not be walking in it in every area of your natural life. You know, just like this. Everybody that's been born again, you have been made rich. You might not have a dime in your pocket, but according to Scripture, you've been made rich. Just like you may not feel righteous, all your doings might not be right, but according to Scripture, over there in 2 Corinthians 5, we have been made the righteousness of God. In Christ, He was made sin for us. So the entire thing is an exchanged life, but you may not have it in its fullness right now. And He says there that we've been called to freedom. The Apostle Paul said, "I am free to do anything, but everything is not good for me to do." He says here, you've been called unto freedom, indeed. He says, but don't use that freedom to be selfish, right? How many knows the love of God is not selfish? Now let's look at, or notice what he says there. He says, by love, do what? Serve one another. In studying this and the Lord revealing some things to me, I do this to a certain degree, just like I do it every Sunday morning, except when it's Monty's turn, then Monty does it or whatever. Like I said, I'm like a waitress to y'all this morning, you know. And it's bad. Have y'all seen people, especially recently on Facebook or when you're out somewhere, how they got to where they treat waiters and waitresses? No wonder some people don't want to do that profession no more. I mean, I seen a lady, she about knocked the cashier out there at Dollar General. That's awful. Do you know the same thing happens in church sometimes? The waiter or the waitress, I'm talking about the one doing the serving, the minister or whatever, brings the word of God that the Lord told them to bring, and people sit there and say, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. That's just their opinion. Not if I read it out of the Scriptures. It's not my opinion. And what happens whenever you do that? One thing, you're being rude to the server and rude to the Lord. I didn't write the Bible. He wrote the Bible. And any time that we hear the word and we sit there and we disagree with it or we think it's not, just like you have a lot of people, you get on tithing. That gets on a lot of people's nerves. Why? Because money to some Christians is a major problem. And God knows it. That's one of the reasons why we're called to tithe. It helps our hearts stay right before the Lord. It also helps to furnish His kingdom. A lot of different things that tithing does in our lives. But people will hear the word about tithing that they, you know, as the world has a saying, I'm too broke to pay attention. If you're broke, you better pay more of attention. Why? So you don't have to be broke no more. But God's ways, usually, when we think about them with a natural or carnal mind or thinking, they don't make any sense. In God's kingdom, the way up is down, right? He said, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. If you humble yourself, you will be exalted. He says over there in, what is it, Luke 6:38, he says, give, and it shall be given, right? I mean, you hear your pastor, I mean, he's like a broke record about that verse. Why? Because he took that word, embraced that word, believed that word was for him, and by faith began to confess it and began to become a doer and a giver, a tither and a giver. And I can tell you today, the man's not broke. Now, he might not be the richest man in Blountsville yet. I said yet. I'm linked to him. He might not be the richest one yet with all the money in his pocket, but what happened? He's heard the word, believed the word, confessed the word by faith, and began to exercise and do the word. That's what every one of us has. God has a place that He's trying to bring every one of us. But we're not saved to just sit. We're not saved to just hear. We're saved to serve one another, he says, in love. And we do a lot of that. I mean, y'all guys, y'all are, I can tell you, I have been at this church for 21 years, a little over 21 years now, I guess, since this is 2022. I have seen a lot of stuff. I have seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. But I can tell you this morning, see, I know who writes their name on their envelopes. Now, I don't know if you give your full tithe. Maybe you give your partial tithe. I don't know. But I know because of why. I'm the secretary. I'm the treasurer. Everything to do with money, I have to do with it. Because why? I've got to write it down because y'all want y'all's little paper things that it takes me weeks to do at the end of the year, right? So I have to take care of all that stuff. I can tell you, y'all are some of the most tithing and most giving to God and to the church and to each other than I have ever known. So that tells me that a lot of y'all are hearers and embracers and doers of the Word of God. And we hear the testimonies. I mean, Johnny getting a raise during COVID. Most people's getting laid off during COVID. Johnny's getting, what'd you get, a dollar at the time? Oh, a couple of dollars. That's even better. During COVID, most people shut down. Most people can't go to work and all that, and Johnny's getting a raise. Then we've heard other testimonies. I can't think of all of them at the time of people. But every one of these, they're hearers of the Word and they're doers of the Word. And God watches over His Word, He says, to perform it. So here in Luke 6:38, He says, if you'll give, and it's not just giving to get. Your motive has to be right. Your heart has to be right. Faith has to be exercised in everything that we do. The Bible says anything apart from faith that we do, the Bible calls it sin. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to believe God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that you can give all your money to the poor just to boast about it, and it did you no good. Luke 6:38 did not work. I mean, there's lost people, they give money for tax write-offs. A lot of different reasons why people give money and different things like that. But He says here, by love, serve one another. I mean, I heard a testimony just the other day that somebody had started coming to church here, been here for a little while, and they said, ever since we started coming to church, they said, people just walk up to us and give us money sometimes, just out of the blue. We didn't ask for it. We didn't tell nobody about it. That gets on my nerves. See, I don't like to tell people about my business and my problems because then I don't know if you helped me because I told you and you felt sorry for me, my poor little pitiful self. Or if God really put it on your heart. You can say God told y'all you want to. But if I know I didn't tell you nothing, and y'all got a $100 bill coming up that I don't have a clue how it's going to get paid, but my trust and confidence is in God, and I am using the word that He said to, and my trust is in Him, and He supplies it, oh, glory, you talk about shout. Then I know God told you to. And you know what? You should be able to shout too because God used you. And He said, in doing the Word is where our joy comes from. But a lot of people, because they're so selfish, they don't want to do what the Lord wants them to do. They don't want to serve one another. So therefore, they have no joy. Some of the most selfish people are the most people that are looking for joy and they can't seem to find it. Why? Because it's not in you helping you. It's in me and you doing for others. And I'm getting way ahead. I'm like, 2 pages ahead of myself here. I got to slow down here. All right, let's look at Romans 12:1. We like to talk about Romans 12:2 a lot, right? New our mind, lives gets transformed like a butterfly in a cocoon. I don't hear much about Romans 12:1, but it's a wonderful thing. He says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That's all the Christians. By the mercies of God, God has been so good to us, hasn't He? All people. He's did it for all people. Even the lost, He already did it for them. All they have to do, just like us, is receive it. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. He says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? That's just the very thing we're supposed to do because of all the mercies of God. Now, listen to it in Amplified. It says it a little, I like the way it says it a little better. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Now, I told you some of this is going to take a little mind renewal. A lot of times today, Christians, when we think of or we hear the word worship, we think, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, don't we? Yeah. That is part of praise and part of worship to God. But he says here, us presenting our bodies, everything that we have, everything that we are, presenting it to God in light of all the mercies that he's given us, is part of our spiritual worship. Now, excuse me. I wrote this down. It's our service and spiritual worship according to Scripture. In the Amplified, he says, we are saved to be fruitful. Didn't Jesus say that it glorifies my Father if you bear much fruit? Somewhere around, what, John 15, 16, somewhere, I think it's 15. So we're called to be fruitful. But sad to say, there's some Christians today, they're not fruitful. Now, I'm not talking about you just got saved last week. Even some of those got saved last week, you can see the fruit already starting, right? But we're saved to be fruitful, to be useful. Y'all think of any scriptures that he talks about that? He says, if you'll cleanse yourself from the latter, he said, you'll be fit and useful for the master's use, right? Y'all remember that? I think, is that in Colossians? Anywhere, I can't think of where it's at right now, but y'all probably know the scripture I'm talking about. We're supposed to be useful to and for God, a benefit and a blessing. God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Serving God and others is spiritual worship. Now, look at Matthew 20. The Bible says those that worship God must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. What's that mean? I do what I do out of my heart, right? With right motives. When he talks about truth there, he's talking about there's no pretense. There's no pretending. There's no hypocrisy there. Now here in Matthew 20, I'm going to start reading in, is that 20? 25, just for time's sake. It says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, or we would say authority. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples, right? We are his disciples today, so therefore he's talking to us too, right? He says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. The word minister there means server or waiter or waitress. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, or we could say served, but to minister, or we could say to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, this is the same mindset that Jesus himself had. I watched a thing, it's been several years ago now. I don't think they even have it on TV anymore, and I only watched it, I think, once. I'm thinking the name of it was L.A. Preachers. Y'all remember seeing that show? This was a show where they got, I don't know how many was there. They might have been 6 to 10 preachers there, well-known. Some of them, if I called their name, you know, you would probably know who they are. But anyway, they had them on there, and they're sitting around, and they're talking. They're talking about their churches. They're talking about their ministry, talking about who they are, what they do, all this stuff. And the whole thing, I'm sitting there, and the whole thing was the majority of them that was sitting there, you could just feel the high-mindedness. You could just feel when they're talking and the things that they're saying. Now, I'm talking about the spirit of it. Of the superiority that they have. How many knows that's not right? Just like me, I'm called to fivefold ministry. I'm a teacher. Now, can people teach? Sure. Without being a teacher? Sure they can. But I'm not just called to teach. I am. That's one of the things that I am in fivefold ministry. I'm called to be a teacher. There's other people that teach. They're not necessarily fivefold ministry. There's people just like your pastor. He's called to being a pastor. And all of those things, the Bible says that we are supposed to give reverence and honor. and respect. Just like Brother Brad, he's been here enough. Y'all work to know and see things or whatever. I always have tried to treat him with the utmost respect. But never one time in my entire life of nearly 30 years knowing him and serving under him have I ever felt he talked down to me. Have I ever felt in the sense that he was talking to me or doing anything, any kind of superiority on his part. But at the same time, I'm called to show respect and honor. And that is exactly what he's saying. We have to be careful about titles. Like I said, I've been here over 20 years. And we tried to do a lot of things here because of things that's in Scotty's heart and different stuff like that. Just like y'all have heard it, he's got jail ministry on. He has a desire for some of y'all to go and minister at the jail. He has a desire for nursing home ministry. I mean, we would like to have what you call service teams, that we have not just one person, but I mean 3, 4, 5, however many, that y'all just go to the nursing home after church or some other time and minister to those people in there. Scotty, how old was that woman that you got saved in there? What, was she in her 90s? 92, and the lady had never been born again when he was going to the nursing home. 92 years old. I don't think, even if she made it to 120, what she lost ain't promised that. We are as Christian. But anyway, I think 70-something is what they're promised. But anyway, to make a long story short, 92 years. What if he had not went? Just like whenever God called him to go out on the street, Scotty was not God's first choice. And I don't even know if the guy that come out there and told Scotty, what are you doing? Y'all remember the story? He's on the street and the guy come out there and said, what are you doing? He said, well, the Lord told me to come out here and preach the gospel. He said, he told me to. And Scotty told him, well, just repent, you know, I guess you didn't do it. So he called me. Why? God's going to accomplish and get somebody, and he may go through 1,000 people before he ever finds somebody that is willing to do, right? But just like that lady, 92 years old, I doubt she had much time left. And God doesn't want her to leave this place without being born again. But he has to have people that are willing to serve other people and serve him. See, that's what one of the problems is about this me and Jesus thing in my living room. We got it all together, just me and him. That's all we need. All he needs is me and all I need is him. That's selfishness. Who are you serving with that? Who are you tithing to? What organization or wherever are you sending? Are you sending to your tithe to the TV minister? Which is good if you can't go to church. Do you understand that all that stuff was created for people that can't attend? You got people in nursing homes. You got people in hospital. You got people at home that they can't go to a service and to attend. And God's not going to leave them out. But it wasn't created for the well-able body that God has called to be in certain places to serve. That's like a vitamin to us. We come here with one another and we hear from God and we fellowship with him and we fellowship with one another and we get built up and we go home and we watch our TV preachers or our internet preachers, whatever it is, and that's supposed to be like a vitamin to me. That's not supposed to be my meal. Now, how selfish is it of me that if I can attend a service somewhere where I feel that God has called me to and I won't? Do you really think that you and Jesus are okay? According to scriptures, I ain't seen that I'm really serving God in my fullness until I'm serving others. Just like the 92-year-old lady down there. What if nobody had have went? The Bible says you can't even hear without a preacher, and how can he preach unless he's sent? And you might say, well, there's TV preachers. Well, maybe she never turned it on TV preaching. I don't know. I lived for 20-something years and never noticed TV preachers until one day. I don't know, Holy Ghost put his finger on it or something. I don't know. But my point here is God had to have somebody willing to serve that lady. Or she would have died, possibly died and gone to hell. And that would have been awful. And that is not the will of God. According to Scripture, the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, right? But that all should come to repentance. God is so good, he did it for everybody, and he wants it. It's available for everybody. But the thing that he's done to himself is bound himself by his word and given us all free will. But yet still, he loves us so much, he keeps trying. He keeps trying. He keeps trying. He keeps trying. And he's got to try through us. He has to have people. Why? He's a spirit. We are the natural part that lives here in the earth. filled with His Spirit, led by His Spirit. But like that Casting Crowns song, you know, He says, we're the body. We're God's hands. We're God's feet. We're God's ears. We're God's mouthpieces. Just like right now, don't take it that this is just me talking to you. Sure, some of me gets involved in this. Why? Because I'm in here too. I try not to let too much of it. I always pray and say, God, help me to say just what you want me to say, not my thoughts, not my opinions. But I know because I'm in here, this is not 100% gospel most of the time, y'all. I mean, please. Ain't what y'all say 100% gospel all the time either. Why? Because you're in here. Ooh-wee, don't Travis look good? Y'all don't look at him. Just look ahead. Look at him at your break. Now, where was I at? Oh, we read that Matthew 20, didn't we? Did we read it all the way through 28? Yeah, we did. All right. I wrote this down. Servanthood is the mindset of Christ, right? Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of my Father, right? The one who sent me. So servanthood is the mindset of Christ, so therefore it should be the mindset of every Christian. And you're not going to get out with the excuse of, I'm too busy. Don't you think God knows how busy you are? I mean, for real, He knows everything. I was reminded of Monty this morning. I mean, y'all have heard it, and I mean, we've all prayed for him in different things. You know, quite a while ago, he had things in his heart he wanted to do for the Lord and different stuff like that, you know. But he works a lot of hours. And y'all remember him asking us, you know, pray the Lord help me, you know, that I get more time for the Lord or study or doing whatever was in his heart to do for the Lord. Well, for any of y'all that may not know it, evidently God helped him. I don't know if he works less hours or if he Facebooks less. I don't know. I don't know what the man does. But now, once a month, he does a men's meeting. Thought you didn't have time, Monty. Something happened to you. See, sometimes we have more time to do what God's called us to do than what we think we do. But a lot of what we do is totally unnecessary. Y'all didn't say nothing. I watch a lot of TV. I like TV. Maybe y'all don't like TV. I don't care. I like TV. Maybe y'all like gaming. I can't stand gaming. It makes me want to kill somebody. Oh. I mean, Travis plays them games, sharp shooting and whatever stuff that you do or whatever. Oh, that makes me really want to literally kill somebody. I can't game. That's not good for me. No. TV makes me relax. Give me a good kicking, blowing up something movie. I just be like, yes. That relaxes me. And we're all supposed to have relaxation time. God doesn't just want us to work, 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 do. No. The Bible and Old Testament, there was so many times a year He actually commanded them to party. Then the Bible says, 6 days shall a man work, right? So we're all commanded to work, but we're also all commanded to have a Sabbath, and that's a different message. I can't get on that one. But most of us like to pride ourselves on we can multitask. Y'all didn't say nothing. Y'all ever heard that, jack of all trades and master of none? That's about right. We might can multitask, but God doesn't want us doing that all the time. So we're commanded to relax. We're commanded to have time that we get refreshed and different things like that. But then we're commanded to work we got to do for the Lord, natural work we got to do. I mean, just maintenance on this body gets annoying. You got to brush your teeth every day, or it's just yuck. They're all green and you're stinking. You got to take a bath. You got to wash your nappy hair. You got to use deodorant. Good God, please use deodorant. I mean, it's just a maintenance thing that we have to do. So my point to that is there are things we have to do. Yes, we have to work jobs. Yes, we may have to work long hours and different things like that. But God knows all of what we have to do. And if He's put something on our hearts to do or specifically told us something to do, then that means I'm going to have to cut out something of my life maybe to do the will of God, to serve Him and to serve other people. Why? It's not convenient to me. This ain't convenient to me this morning. I was sleeping good when my clock went off, Monty. And I could have slept on. I guarantee you, if I can't sleep past 6:30 any other time, it's on Sunday. You better believe it. So I might not be wanting to be your waitress necessarily this morning, but I'm called to it. So therefore, what do? Whatever my desire was, whatever I wanted to do, if He's going to be Lord in my life, and not just my Savior, then I do what I'm called to do. That's every single one of us. Most of the time when God tells us to do something, it's not convenient to the flesh. Most of the time, my flesh can bring up every excuse why I don't want to do it, I can't do it, I don't have the money to do it. God says, then believe me for the money. Y'all have heard the story. Scotty backed over his nephew. He was up there helping him pull up trees, and his boy had parked the lawnmower over there, which he had done ripped half of the hood off of it, Monty. I mean, it ain't like the thing was brand new anymore. But anyway, and Scotty, he's getting ready to leave. They used Scotty's truck to pull up trees, and Scotty backed into his lawnmower and bent the other side of the hood up a little bit. Well, so what? It's already bent. God doesn't say so what. God says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, if I wanted two dents in my hood on my lawnmower, I would have did it myself. So he's got one, and he didn't want the other one. So anyway, to make a long story short, Scotty comes home, and he tells me, and his nephew had told him, it'll be all right. But in his heart, it wasn't all right. He had went home. Scotty told him, I'm going to fix it, you know. I'll find out how much they are, and I'll fix it. The guy went home and told his wife what happened and told him Scotty said he'd fix it. And you know what he said? He won't. Scotty comes home, he tells him, well, so-and-so said it's okay. I said, it's not okay. It's just not okay. And he said, well, he said it's, I don't care if he said it's okay. It's not okay. Now, my point to this is, I don't have a dime to put gas in his lawnmower, much less fix a hood. But it's not okay. I'm called to do the word. I'm called to do what God considers is the right thing. Not what you say or what I say is the right thing, but what he says is the right thing. So what is the right thing? Fix it. I don't have the means to fix it. So therefore, my excuse could be, I can't. So y'all not saying nothing. I don't have the money. I can't go to Peru. I don't have the money. God never asked you to have the money. He asked you to go. God never asked me to have the million, Scotty, to have the money to fix the hood. He says what? Trust me and I'll supply everything you need. So we come into agreement. We know it's the right thing. So we believe God. God, you will send us the money to do the right thing and fix the hood on his lawnmower. Looked it up on the internet. It's $175. You might as well have said $10 million to me. I'm serious. Y'all think I've not lived where some of y'all have lived or where you're even living now. I have. Years, even after being a Christian. It don't just happen overnight, because the thing about it is there's a process that has to go on the inside of me and you of change, but a lot of times before God's word can get fulfilled out here in our natural. So we come into agreement, we trust God, we believe God, he wants us to do it. So therefore, wherever the will of God is known, I can have what? Faith. And it's going to take faith to get it. We come in agreement, he ordered it, we paid for it, he took it up there, and he put it on. Now, why did I say all of that? I don't even remember now, Monty. Know what my point was? Did you get it? What was it? Because I forgot what my point was. Let me look here. Oh, yeah. It's a mindset, right? It's not selfish. The selfish thing for me would have been, don't worry about it. It's his hood. I don't care. He said, don't bother with it, so I'm not going to bother with it. God's not okay with that. He says, don't use my freedom as an occasion to the flesh to selfishness. He says, but by love, what does love do? Love fixes it. Love don't run around talking about everybody and telling everybody's faults. I don't care who they are. If it's your mama, if it's your kids, I don't run around telling everybody Travis's faults. And he's got some. I don't care what he says. Beth can tell you he does. Y'all not saying nothing. My kid's fault ain't none of your business. Your kid's fault ain't none of my business. That's God's business, but it's not mine, and it's not yours. And what does love do? Love does what? Tell everybody's faults? No. The Bible says love covers. Do you know there's a principle in that? If I will say Johnny does something, Johnny don't ever do nothing, I'm sure. Samantha's smiling, but that's okay, Johnny. Say Johnny does something or whatever, and I know it's a fault, and Johnny did it. I don't need to go tell everybody about that. You know why? I'm going to do something sooner or later, and I'm going to get uncovered. Why? Because the principle is, whatever you do to others will be done to you. Whatever measure you put out to everybody else will be measured back to you again. So I want to make sure that I cover Johnny's faults. I don't plaster them out there to everybody. I cover them. I pray for him. That's just, like I said, Johnny, he don't do nothing. Let me use Scotty here. He does stuff all the time. My point to it is, he says, serve one another by love. Love covers. Every one of us in this room has faults. Even if you ain't got but one, Jesus. They call Justin that works with y'all, they call him and my family Jesus, because he usually gets his way. And Doris is Mary. I don't know why that is, because ain't neither one of them even close. My point to that is, we all have issues to deal with. We all have different pet sins and things that we make excuses for, all kinds of stuff. We all got stuff, and we shouldn't be running around uncovering one another. We're supposed to, by love, cover one another. I don't come to, I know I tell y'all a lot of what Scotty does. I don't tell y'all the half of it. Why? Number one, he's your pastor. And I'm not stupid. See, I see all of it. Therefore, every now and then, when I get miffed with him, I have a hard time coming to church and listening to what he says. He'd be up here preaching, and my mind is back. I tell you right now, you are to do what you preach. If you're going to say that while you up there, you should have told me you were sorry yesterday. Don't come telling all of us how we're supposed to say we're sorry. I know y'all don't have to deal with none of that. Y'all just have to deal with him here. I get double trouble. So I can't come here. I can't call my mama and tell my mama everything that Scotty does. Why? Scotty's her pastor too, plus her son-in-law. So she sees even a little more. What is my point to that? It's hard to receive from somebody if you hear about all their faults and you focus on that. Because you got your own. If y'all know all the stuff that I do and say, probably, I don't know if you'll be here this morning. Thank Jesus he don't tell y'all all the stuff I do. Why? It's not about me being perfect, him being able to use me. It's about his selection and his choice. I didn't choose this for myself. Whatever you are and you do, I know we got faults. You got faults, Monty. And you do Sunday school once a month and a men's meeting now. April, don't tell us. She wouldn't anyway. But my point to that is, he says, by love, serve one another. Serving others means you cover them. All of us got faults. We all see them, even when you think we don't sometimes, or I think y'all don't. But we cover one another. That is serving one another by love, right? Then there's other things. Whatever Jesus says is the right thing to do, that's what I'm supposed to do for you. That's what you're supposed to do for me or whoever. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Now, when you say that, by love, serve one another, you just said an entire mouthful. Love covers everything and anything. And it ain't always what I think. There has been times that Scotty has made decisions and bought things. He says it's for me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Johnny, I got a bulldozer for me. I didn't want a bulldozer. But according to him, see, I don't know what's in his heart. I don't know why he does the things that he does. Just like to me and my thinking in my heart, I ain't never wanted a bulldozer, Monty. Don't want one now, but I have one. And according to Scotty, it's him loving me. I needed a bulldozer, and I did. Now, guess what I found out yesterday? Y'all not going to believe this one. Darcy's laughing. I found out yesterday, Monty, I need a dump truck. I did not know I needed a dump truck. I don't say hallelujah, Monty. This is, what is it, $6,000, $8,000? You know what I could do with that? And it ain't haul dirt. Why am I saying this? I said, he said, by love, serve one another. Scotty loves me. He bought that land over. He's got them cows over. Do y'all know that's mine? He does that for me. I don't want no land. I don't want no cows. Why am I saying that? Because in his heart, that's him loving me. I don't want it. But do you know I do things for him out of love that he's like, I didn't want that. See, I told him, look, dude, from here on out, chicken and fish is what you're getting around here if you don't want that. You better eat before you get here. Chicken and fish. Well, the doctor told him don't eat no kind of meat. And he's been gorging on all things. Well, so I'm going, because I love him, I'm going to cut him down to chicken and fish. Monty, do you know he don't think that's because I love him? Well, I'm saying, that's part of my service to him. Sometimes loving you don't feel like I'm loving you. Sometimes when God loves me, But he parts my hair and creases my britches for me about my buggy at Walmart or whatever the case may be, it don't feel like he loves me. Even the Bible says chastening or discipline does not feel good at the moment. Aubrey told me here a while back, I got to stop. We didn't get nowhere on this. But anyway, here a while back, her mama had give her a spanking. Aubrey is very dramatic. Aiden, not too bad. Aubrey's Miss Dramatic. Anyway, her mama had give her a spanking for something. And she's telling me about it. And I said, well, you know, you have to do what mom says and all that. I always try to help them, you know, and encourage them. I'm telling you, I'm going to get on mom or nothing like that, like some grandparents. Anyway, she told me, she said, and then, Grandma, she told me, she said, it's for you, Aubrey, because I love you. That don't even make no sense, Grandma. That's crazy. That's what she told me. That's just not right, Grandma. That's crazy. It don't even make no sense. She spanked me because she loves me. No, she don't, Grandma. Do you know the Bible says we're born again spiritual babies? I never know a kid that says that you just beat the far out of them for something. They say, oh, thank you. I feel much better. I don't ever know one like that. And when we're spiritual babies, we don't do that either. Thank you, Father, for that discipline you just done. But how many knows when you grow and you mature, you can see love in there working? Why? Because it was going to cost me. It was going to lead me down a wrong road. It was going to take me into bondage. Somehow or another, I have got to stop because we're over time. Scotty's back here rubbing his eyes. Monty gets an hour, I get 45 minutes. But anyway, all right, we'll recess till 11.